the verse that we just repeated is one of the most amazing verses, amazing promises in the whole Bible. And it's good that we just don't memorize it, but it's good that we let it become living in our lives, for God to do what He has promised, that He strongly supports those whose heart is completely His. And as we think of that word this morning, and that's been on my heart this past week, that God wants to strongly support us. There's only one condition: our hearts must be completely His. And the eyes of the Lord, we know, we understand, is the Holy Spirit who's moving throughout the whole earth. We see that in Zechariah, the vision that Zechariah had. The angel told him, the eyes of the Lord is the Holy Spirit that moves throughout the earth to strongly support those whose hearts are completely His. It says in the Message Bible, God is always on the alert, constantly on the lookout for people who are totally committed to Him. God is always on the alert, constantly on the lookout for people who are totally committed to Him. And may we pray that we would be one of such people, will be totally committed to Him. And this word in 2 Chronicles in chapter 16 verse 9, you have to see it in its whole context. We don't have time, but I would encourage you to read 2 Chronicles chapters 14 to 16 to understand and see this word in its whole context, because it refers to a very godly king, King Asa, who began well, very well, exceedingly well, I would say, if you look at his life. But sadly, he did not end well. And we have heard in this church that it's not how we begin, it's how we end our lives. And I hope we are taken up with that. Not how wholehearted I am today, how wholehearted I've been all the years that I followed the Lord, all the years I've been in the church, but how wholehearted I'll be at the end of my life when I have to enter the portals of heaven. And when I am reminded of this and I see those who began well and never end well, always my attention is directed to John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. If you've read it, you would see that at the end of that vision that he has, after coming through so much, and he made it all, some dropped by the way. There was one brother faithful who was with him practically to the end. He had to lay down his life. But when Christian reaches the gates of heaven and he sees the portals of heaven, I'll never forget this. He said that when he saw the portals of heaven and saw the gate to heavenly glory, he saw right beside this gate, a path that led to the city of destruction. That has always spoken to me, that I cannot, till I press the tape, till I enter in, and like Paul says, I fought a good fight, I finished the course. Until that happens, I must not pat myself on the back, I must not glory in anything, but to see that I remain wholehearted, to the end. And I want to encourage us, my brothers and sisters, and that's been on my heart, that that is how the Lord wants us to live our life on this earth, that we don't just begin well. We can be a tremendous blessing to the church, tremendous blessing to people we can have. We can bless others whom God sends across our path or leads us to. But I must see that I end well. I want to be taken up with that. I want to end well. I don't want to even look back till I make it into glory. And there are some things that we can learn. And there are three important truths here that relate to our life on earth as we look at Asa. Asa was a godly king. And it says in 2 Chronicles in chapter 14, we look at a few verses in the life of Asa here. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, it says in verse 2, Asa did good and right in the sight of the Lord his God. And he removed the foreign altars and high places, tore down the sacred pillars, cut down the asherim, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandments. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities. And he built fortified cities in Judah, since the land was undisturbed and there was no one at war with him during those years, because the Lord had given him rest. And he says in verse 7, he said to Judah, let us build these cities, surround them with walls and towers, gates and bars. That refers to our lives. The land is still ours because we have sought the Lord our God. You know, in today's Christianity, it's all taken for granted. And people are told, you know, then after they make a decision or sign a decision card, now you're a child of God, and now you're a citizen of heaven, and so on and so forth. They don't teach people to seek God. And it says there, because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought Him, and He has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. We see him as a truly humble man here. And that's how he began his life. He got something of that from his father Abijah. And it's seeking God not just when everything goes well, my brothers and sisters, but seeking God not just in trouble and difficulty, but when everything goes well, when it's going well for us. Always say to young married couples, we have seen in this church young married couples backslide, young married brothers backslide after getting married. Why is that? And some of them remain backslidden, and some of them wake up and seek God. But why should that be? There should be no point in my life where I relax and I think, yeah, it's good. It's gone well with me. It's gone well with my children. It's gone well in my personal life. We are to seek God when everything is going well for us. More so than in times of trouble and difficulty. You've heard Brother Zach often say, you know, that military term, if you sweat in peace, you'll bleed less in war. If you sweat in peace, you'll bleed less in war. So it's in times of peace that we are to seek God. In these days, when God has given us peace, we are to seek God. When we see what is coming upon us, not suddenly wake up and begin to seek God when there is trouble and difficulty, when there is tribulation. Now is the time that we are called to seek God. And one evidence that we are seeking God is very clear there. God will give us rest. It's there in verse 6. It says the Lord had given him rest. And Asa himself said, because we have sought him, he has given us rest on every side. And I know, I cannot assume it, I know that I am seeking God if I am at rest. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, I am at rest. God has given me rest. in my personal walk in life with the Lord, I am at rest. I'm not trying to impress the elders. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I want to live my life before God. I want to cease from striving. I want to cease from trying. I tell people, stop trying. Let go. Let God work in your life. That's what rest is. We enter into God's rest where I stop trying. I stop striving. Doesn't mean I sit back and everything falls into my lap. No. I seek God. And God will give me rest. That's what we read in Hebrews. There's a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And if we have entered into God's rest, it says we have ceased from our own works. We're not all the time thinking, I've got to read the Bible, or because I didn't read the Bible today, or I didn't have my quiet time, that's why things went badly. Is that how I live my life? I listen to God only in the morning. We've been hearing that, and I listen and I get a word from God, and the rest of the day I do my own thing. No, it says He awakens our ear morning through morning. That is, all through the day I'm listening to God. And if I'm constantly listening to Him, I will seek Him with all my heart. If we seek the Lord earnestly, we will enter into God's rest. When Esau was in trouble and his enemies came up against him, we see that here, with an army double the size of what he had, with chariots that he did not possess, he cried out to God. Verse 14, verse 11. When his enemy Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them in an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and Esau went out to meet him, with half that number. He had only 300,000 from Judah and 280 from Benjamin, half the number of what he had. And Esau went out to meet him, verse 10, and they drew up in battle formation. And Esau called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one beside you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you and in your name have come up against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you. And we see the result there. So the Lord, not Esau, the Lord routed the Ethiopians before Esau and before Judah. And the Ethiopians fled. And Esau and the people who were with him pursued them. They completely defeated their enemies because he cried out to God. In that trouble, in that difficulty, he cried out to God. But he was doing it all the time. So it was spontaneous. When he met a problem, when he met a situation he could not handle, he sought God. And that's how it must be. That's how it must be in your life and mine. Not just all the time I'm taking it easy, I don't seek God. And then when trouble comes, I want to seek God. But it must be spontaneous. And that is how Esau lived. And that is how we are to live. It tells us in Hebrews in chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, a word that we have often heard. That if our conversation, if our character is free from the love of money, being content with what we have, and the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we can confidently say, verse 6, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid what man can do to me. So if I don't have any idols in my heart, Esau finished with all idolatry. And that is how it must be in my life. I cannot keep something. We've seen that. He was a wholehearted man. And that is how we are to be when God shows us things in our life that we need to get rid of. Love of money, definitely. We have to completely eliminate from our life and seek God. And we love God with all of our hearts. And we are content with our lot in life, content with what God has given us. Then we can confidently say, like it says in Hebrews 13, verse 6, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. It says in the Message Bible, this verse 9, 2 Chronicles 14:9, he says, Esau prayed to God, O God, you aren't impressed by numbers or intimidated by a show of force. And Peter says we are not to be intimidated by what they fear. Times that are coming upon us, we are not to be intimidated. We are not to be intimidated by tribulation. If all the nations, Jesus said, all the nations will be hated by all nations. And God is not impressed by numbers or by intimidation, by a show of force. He says, once you decide to help, help us, O God. We have come out to meet this huge army because we trust in you and who you are. Don't let mere mortals stand against you. And the Lord gave him a massive victory. That's how it is. And these are days, my brothers and sisters, that we must be seeking God, seeking Him with all of our heart, letting God show us things in our lives that we have to get rid of. We are constantly in touch with Him. God will strongly support us. And that requires humility. And humility not just in different situations, not just before my boss, not just in the home, you know, in our relationship with each other, but a spirit of humility, an attitude of humility. A humble man will seek God wholeheartedly all his life. That's why we've heard, you know, it's humility, humility, humility. And I can't manufacture that. I have to learn that from Jesus. So may God really help us. That's the first thing. The second thing, it says here, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are completely His. You know, we look at that. You know, the eyes of the Lord. It's like two young people who are so much in love with one another. They're constantly looking out for each other as they, you know, as the saying goes, I've got your back. That means I'm protecting you. You know, the husband is constantly protecting his wife. Or before they're married, he's constantly jealous. The way she conducts herself with the opposite sex, same thing. Goes vice versa for the girl who is in love with this guy that she's going to get married to. She's jealous for him. That's how it is. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro. God is a jealous lover, my brothers and sisters. Let's recognize that. He doesn't want any idols in our life. Esau was such a wholehearted man, he got rid of everything. He wanted to please God. And so in times of trouble and difficulty, the Lord gave him victory because that was the character of his life. He sought God. He sought God with all his heart. And so that's something that we must recognize. The second thing, that the eyes of the Lord watch over us with tender jealousy. You know, James tells us that in James chapter 4, verse 5. You can turn to that word. He says, the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us, you know, watches over us, so is jealous for us. In James chapter 4, verse 5. He says there before that, he says, you adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. It's in relation to our love for the world and all that this world offers us. Do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us, but He gives a greater grace. The Spirit that He has given you and me, my brothers and sisters, is a jealous Spirit. It's the eyes of the Lord. He's jealous for us and how I conduct myself on this earth. He watches over us with tender jealousy. So I must be sensitive to the promptings and leadings of the Holy Spirit in my daily life. In the things I say, the things I do. To be sensitive to Him. In the way I do my work in the office, the way I conduct my business, in driving on the road, in what I watch, in what I look at, to be sensitive, to see that the eyes of the Lord are watching. It says the good and evil all the time. The eyes of the Lord are upon us. And to be sensitive. And in 2 Chronicles in chapter 15, you know, whenever it goes well in us, well with us, it's very easy to relax and become puffed up. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah. It's amazing that the Lord, you know, at different times warns us and sends, you know, somebody across our path, or He speaks to us through His word. The Spirit of God came on Azariah, the son of God, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, this is after this massive victory that he had, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you when you are with Him. And if you seek Him, He will let you find Him. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. And those were days, in verse 3, it said there was no teaching priest. There was no teaching there. And so the people cried out to God in their distress. And it says there was no peace. These are the days we are living in. For him who went out, or to him who came in, nation was crushed by nation, city by city. For God troubled them with every kind of distress. But you, Asa, be strong and do not lose courage, for there is reward for your work. Don't get weary, it says, of well-doing. Do not lose courage, even if the going is tough. And whatever may happen, and the days ahead are definitely not going to be pleasant. But the Lord says to us, be strong and do not lose courage. There is reward for your work, that we continue to work. As long as it is called today, it says we are to work before the night comes. Continue to seek God, continue to offer ourselves to Him. And so, God sent Azariah to warn Asa. If you seek Him, He'll be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. It's like Abraham's encounter with Melchizedek. Melchizedek had a massive victory also. He defeated those five kings. And there was all that plunder and all that he got as a result of that battle. And he meets Melchizedek. Melchizedek, who came to him with bread and wine. And Melchizedek reminds him two things there. We've heard this before. That God is the Most High God is the possessor of heaven and earth. So all that you've got now, Abraham, you know, belongs to God. And it's God who has given you victory over the enemies. This is something that I must always remember. All that I possess, all that God gives me, if I prosper, if I do well in my job, it's God who has given me that. Let me never take credit for it. Let me never think, oh, because of my hard work. There are young people who have gone from this church and say, you know, I'm a self-made man. I feel sorry for them. And that's what Melchizedek reminded Abraham. And it's good that he met Melchizedek, because the king of Sodom came to him, and when he met him and said, you know, just take everything, he says, just give me the people. And you know the incident there. And Abraham said, I won't take even a shoelace from you or a thread. Because he had just met a godly man who reminded him, it's God who gives everything. It's God who is possessor of heaven and earth. And it's God who has given you victory over your enemies. Don't forget that, Abraham. And so he could stand up to the king of Sodom. He could meet that trial and that testing and come through it. And not compromise and say, yeah, it's okay. He's giving it to God. After all, it's I who fought the battle. He said, just give to the men who fought with me. I don't want even a shoelace or a thread. Lest you say, I have made Abraham rich. What a man. So, you know, God takes us through different testings only to test us. Asa failed this next test. That's the sad thing. He lived 90% of his life wholeheartedly. The last 5 years, he backslid and backslid so much. But God doesn't let us backslide. He doesn't let us get lukewarm you know, just like that, without warning us. He warned Peter. Peter, with all his loud proclamation, everyone else forsakes you, I will not. And the Lord says, Peter, before the night is finished, you'll deny me three times. Before the cock crows tomorrow morning, you would have denied me three times. And Peter, yeah, there can be times we fail the testing, and the best thing to do is to humble ourselves. Peter went out and wept bitterly, and God restored him. Paul warned the elders of the church of Ephesus. He worked with them 3 years, with night and day, it says with tears. But then even he calls them, and you know his time of departure was coming, he says, he warns them, he says, from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. So God doesn't leave us without warnings. And God warned Esau also towards the end of his life. And it says in Second Chronicles in chapter 15, you know, he took those warnings very seriously. In verse 8, it says in verse 8, when Esau heard these words and the prophecy which Azariah the son of Oded the prophet spoke, he took courage and removed the abominable idol from all the land of Judah and Benjamin. You know, more idols that he saw. He then restored the altar of the Lord which was in front of the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and those from Ephraim, Manasseh and Simeon who resided with them, for many defected to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Isn't that lovely? Many defected from him from Israel because they saw God was with him. And that's how it is. That's how it must be with us as a church. That's how it must be in our personal life, that they see God is with you. With Joseph, they saw that God was with him, that he had an extraordinary spirit. That's how we are to live our life on this earth, that people see us. This guy is different. This lady, this woman is different. God is with him. And it says he assembled, verse 10, at Jerusalem, and they sacrificed to the Lord, so on. They entered into the covenant to seek the Lord. Verse 12, whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. And they made an oath, verse 14, to the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting, with trumpets and with horns. All Judah rejoiced concerning the oath, for they had sworn with their whole heart, and had sought him earnestly, and he let them find him. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. There was a revival. This is a real revival. This is true revival. The result of that revival, you see the next verse, verse 16. What a wholehearted man. He also removed Maacah, the mother of King Asa, from the position of queen mother, because she had made a horrid image as an Asherah. And Asa cut down her horrid image, crushed it and burned it at the brook Kidron. And it says at the end of verse 17 that Asa was blameless all his days. What a wonderful man he was. But this was, you know, he has lived now nearly 35 years. Here was a real revival. And he was a radical man. And that's how we are to be, my brothers and sisters, as we go on following Jesus, as we go on walking in his footsteps. This is how it must get in our lives. We see more and more things that have to be cleansed, more and more things, idolatry that we have to finish with, that the Lord alone has our heart, because then he will strongly support us. That is how you and I are to live our life on this earth. And we want God to strongly support us in times of trouble and tribulation, that God, we know that God is on our side. And we will not fear what man can do to us. But then, like I said, in the 36th year, Asa backslid. You look at the verse that we memorized. Before that, you know, before that, he makes a treaty with the king of Aram, because the king of Israel came against him to make war with him. And what did he do? What did he do previously? He sought God. But what did he do here? He used his clever mind. How should I deal with this man now? I'll make a treaty with this guy, the king of Aram, and see that he breaks his treaty with the king of Israel, and so he will not attack me. And, you know, it says there, in verse 7, at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, listen to this, because you have relied on the king of Aram and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubim and an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. And there we have that word, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Asa, you have acted foolishly in this. From now on, you will surely have wars. And that's the third thing that we learn. What was his foolishness? Very clear there. Instead of relying on God, he relied on human help. He relied on man. Previously, he sought God. In the 15th year of his reign, he sought God. He sought him right from the beginning of his reign. He sought him all through 35 years. But at the end of his reign, the last 5 years, he gets human help. He uses his clever mind instead of seeking God like he did before. And that is what we have to watch, my brothers and sisters. That's why, like it says in the Message Bible, God is always on the alert, constantly on the lookout for people who are totally committed to him. You were foolish to go for human help when you could have had God's help. That's a Message Bible. Now you're in trouble, one round of war after another. That's what happens. When we rely on human help, we rely on our own reason, our own cleverness, how this one handled it, how I handled the situation before, instead of relying on God. Lord, I rely on you. I trust in you. Whatever it may be you are facing, whatever battle, whatever struggle, whatever trial in your home, in your office, there were times when you relied on God, but now you rely on your cleverness, your experience, your ability. Our hearts are not completely his. And we act foolishly. And we see that he didn't repent of that, even when the Lord sent a prophet to him. God always has a prophet. It says there that Hanani came to him. And what was the result? Verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 16. Asa was angry with the seer, put him in prison. And Asa oppressed some of the people. That's, you imagine? He was so good before in the way he treated people. Now he began to oppress the people. And that's what can happen to you and me, my brothers and sisters, when we don't rely on the Lord. And we rely on human help, or we rely on our reason. And we look at circumstances and situations. Instead of seeking God, we seek human help. Jeremiah says that in Jeremiah 17, cursed is the man who puts his trust in the arm of flesh and makes flesh his trust. Cursed is the man that we wither up, we dry up, when we put our trust and confidence in anything that is of man, instead of putting our trust and confidence in God. And what happened? It got worse with him. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 12, it says, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. His disease was severe, yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the doctors. And he died in this condition in his 41st year. It's a sad ending. But we can learn, my brothers and sisters, from Asa's example. Let's run the race right to the end. Right till we finish. Never pat ourselves on the back. Let's remain humble in seeking the Lord wholeheartedly, continually, not just in the beginning, not just before marriage, you young people, but even after marriage, and right to the end, that God, that you can be of use to God. And let's remember that God is a jealous lover. The eyes of the Lord, He's jealous for you and me. He cannot see me giving even a little portion of my heart to something else or someone else. Let's be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and promptings every day, that He opens my ear morning through morning. Listen to Him and cleanse out all that is unchristlike from our lives. And lastly, let's recognize the foolishness of getting human help, of relying on our own reason instead of trusting the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, it says, and do not lean on your own understanding. These are days, my brothers and sisters, in times of peace. Don't wait for trouble and difficulty. Don't wait for something to happen that you begin to seek the Lord. These are the days that we will be seeking Him wholeheartedly, and we will see Him show Himself strong on our behalf. May God bless His word to our hearts. Help us to run the race wholehearted right to the end. That's how I want to go. Amen.
We heard this morning that it is more important how we end our life rather than how we begin, because most of us, we all begin, but we all don't end. You know, in a running race, we see so many people, especially when there is a different cause, like running for AIDS or running for cancer or something like this. You see so many people, but they all start, but not everybody finishes. Only one comes first. I remember when I was in college, I was taking part in NCC. There was this on-the-spot running competition. I took part in that. And we started when the whistle blew. I sprinted. I started. And I was running like a deer. So fast and so ahead of everybody. I looked over my shoulder and saw they were all slowly running. And they were cheering me on, and I was going on and on and on. And then later on I started losing my steam. And I don't remember it was whether 400 meters or 800 meters dash. Slowly my energy was, I was not able to continue. I became slower than those guys, and those guys overtook me, and they knew how to run. I didn't know how to run. That was the difference. So that's how it is. We all start well, but we all don't finish well. It's not how we begin, but it's how we end. It's not how I get married or where I get married or who conducts my marriage, but how I live after I'm married. Do I endure till the end? Do I love my life partner and my children, my family and my in-laws and outlaws, whatever laws, whether I keep all those laws till the end. The Bible says, you know, he who has begun a good work in us, he will complete it. We don't have to bother about whether we will be able to complete or not. It is God's business. It's a lovely verse. I want you to look at that in Philippians 1:6. I've shared a number of times this verse. Philippians 1:6, it says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ." See, it is God who began that good work in you, and it says it is he who will complete it. So we need to have faith in that it is he began, not that I began. He took the initiative. When I was wallowing in the muck, when I was a sinner, when I deserved God's wrath and punishment, He came after me, calling after my name. He came, He saved me, and now it is His to complete what He has begun. So remember that He is the author and He is the finisher. So it is always good to remember that. We heard about young people sometimes saying, "I'm a self-made man." Really? I have a few questions to ask you, self-made man. Did you pick up your own dirt and create yourself? Was it not your mom who gave you birth? Was it not a midwife or nurse who took you and cleansed you and bathed you and put you on bed? And got your mom started cleaning you up till you were able to do it on your own, and she fed you. Your father educated you, and your teacher taught you, and your boss is giving you your salary. And when the last moment comes, you are not even in a position to put one foot in the grave. Both need to be put through somebody else, and you still call yourself a self-made man. I am not a self-made man. I have always been dependent, and I am interdependent. And this is how I will end my life, with one another. That's why God has given us one another in the church, together with all the saints. We read in Hebrews 3:6. I want you to turn there. Hebrews 3:6. It says, Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. And verse 14 in the same chapter, it says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confession and our assurance firm until the end. Just compare these two verses. It says here, we are his house. And there is a big if there. We are his house if we hold fast our confession and the boast of our hope firm until the end. And verse 14 it says, we have become partakers. We have become his house, and now we have become his partakers of Christ. If, again, if we hold fast the beginning of our confession until the end. In the same book, verse 6, Hebrews 6:11-12, I want you to read that. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. See, in all these things we read, until the end, enduring until the end. Jesus said in Matthew 24, he who endures till the end, he said, he who endures in love, that is, he is speaking about love. Many people's love will grow cold and they will betray one another. But he who endures in love till the end, he shall be saved. So the same thing says here, if we show the same diligence as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And it says in Hebrews 13:7 about those who led you, Hebrews 13:7, it says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. It says in my margin, consider the end of their life. Not how they began, but how they ended, those who have gone ahead of us. Consider how they ended, imitate their faith. Remember one thing, brothers and sisters, it's not we who decided to come to God. It is God who decided to send Jesus to come after us, to seek and to save those which was lost. And he who has begun a good work in you and me, he will complete it. You don't have to worry how I begin. Okay, I have begun. But will I be able to complete it is not my business. It's God's business with my cooperation. If we endure, if we stick on to Him, if we confess our hope, if we carry on and on with Him without giving up. The Lord said in Isaiah 46, Isaiah 46, verse 3 and 4, it says, it is God who started the work in us when we were born, and He will be with us and He will complete the work until we die. It says in Isaiah 46, verse 3 and 4, the middle of verse 3, you who have been born by me from birth, in my bracket it says, in the belly, and have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I shall be the same. And even to your graying years, I shall bear with you. I shall bear you. I have done it, and I shall carry you, and I shall bear you, and I shall deliver you. See, from birth, from the belly, from when we were born on this planet Earth till we are taken away from here, God promises that I will be with you. I am the same. I will not change. I shall bear you. I have done it. I shall carry you. I shall bear you and I shall deliver you. Do you need any better promises than this? Lastly, I want you to see a few verses in Ezekiel 36. See how many times God says, I will do it, I will do it, I will do it, I will do it. You count those from verse 24 onwards down through the chapter. You see how many times God says, it's not you, it's for my sake. He says, it's for my sake I am going to do these things. What are those things? Verse 24, Ezekiel 36, verse 24 onwards. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the lands and bring you to your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. Not you. It's God who will put His spirit within us and cause us to walk in His statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. And verse 28, my people, I will be your God. Verse 29, I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and I will not bring a famine on you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and so on and so forth. I am not doing it for your sake, declares the Lord. Verse 32, let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. It is for my sake. Verse 37 it says, this also will I let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. This for my sake, says. We are created in His image and for His glory, for His sake. To bring glory to Him, not to us, not unto us, but unto Him be all the glory. Because He is the one who is able to keep us from falling and stumbling and to present us before the Father, blameless before His throne until that day. Amen.
God loves us so much that He sends us a word. He will not leave us in our own condition, but He wants to send us so that we will wake up. You know, I was thinking that when God speaks to us, that we respond, we seek God so that we can be saved, so that we can be come out of our life that is not pleasing to God. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about God sending forth a word, and it's really good that we take heed
and I want to take heed to love the truth about myself. When God speaks to us, when God sends us forth, he reveals to us a true condition so that we can love the truth about ourselves and we can repent and turn to God. You know, here we heard about Asa in chapter 14, 2 Chronicles chapter 14. One thing that was lacking here, you know, at the end, he began well, but at the end, he did not seek God with all his heart. What is that prevents us from seeking God with all our hearts? It says in Jeremiah 29, "You will seek me, you will find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you." Why is that many a times we are not able to seek God with all our hearts? Because when things go wrong, when we fall, we lose heart. And we discourage and we get into unrest. That's what happens. You know, we saw in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, many a times it's repeated, God has given him a rest. God has given them a rest in every sight. And it goes on, you know, when Asa called on to the Lord and how the victory God gave to Asa, to defeat the Ethiopians. And chapter 15, it says that God sent forth the word through. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah and he came and spoke. And he responded. Asa responded. It says in Asa, 2 Chronicles chapter 15 verse 8, it says, "Now when the Asa heard these words and the prophecy which Azariah the son of Obed said, he took courage and he set right. But if only he would have done the same thing in chapter 16, the end would have been different. When Hanani spoke to him, he spoke the true condition, he spoke the truth. He got angry instead of seeking God, instead of going back to God. The problem is that we don't go back to God the times when we are supposed to go back. We just remain and we get angry, we get offended when God's word comes to us. It so offends our heart and we just taken up with me. And we don't love the truth about ourselves. When we love the truth about ourselves, we don't get offended. We don't get angry on people. You know, Asa got angry and he put him in the prison and he treated others very badly instead of seeking God, instead of looking at his own condition and seeking God. I pray that the Lord would really, the times like this, God speaks to us, we go back to him. You know, that's why we get into unrest and we seek help from human and we go astray, we go on track. And God wants to bring us back. God loves us so much. And he wants to send forth his word. And he wants to heal his people. And I believe that it's only right that we can come back. You know, Hebrews, it says that, you know, that rest which God has promised, they could not able to enter it in the people of Israelites because of their unbelief. Because they didn't hear with faith. They heard saying that, oh, how heavy it was. And they were grumbling and complaining. But, you know, the promise in Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 4 remains. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful. None of you be found to have fallen short of it." I believe that God, that hardness of heart, that unrest can come into our life. But like the Holy Spirit reminds us in Hebrews chapter 3, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I pray that the Lord would give us a sensitive heart, a listening heart, that we can hear that our life can be different. That we begin well, not only we begin well, we go on till the Lord comes. You know, in closing, Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, it says, "Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." It's not our striving, it's not our struggling, but it's the Lord who is going to give us victory. It's the Lord who is going to give us the rest every side. whether it is a flesh, whether it is our whatever struggle, whatever we are battling, it is the Lord who is going to give us. Verse 7 it says, "What are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain, and you will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace to grace to it." I believe the Lord wants to do to us that we can rejoice before God and we can come into Him. May God give us a heart that we can hear His voice today, that we will not harden our heart and we can respond.
It's good for us to remember the memory verse that we heard today. That's a lovely promise for all of us. And how many of us know that promise by heart? Hello? Yeah? Okay. Just a small percentage. But I want to encourage all of you, brothers and sisters, to take some pains to remember that verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. And the promise is not about you, it's about God. God's eyes are looking around. He wants to support you, support those who are, whose hearts are completely His, who are seeking Him, who want to obey Him, who want to do His will, who are humble. Did you hear that? I see God's heart there, longing to support us. The problem is not with the Lord, the problem is always with us. You know, I want to say a word of encouragement this morning to all. Maybe you had a bad start, but you can have a good finish. Did you hear that? Maybe you had a bad start, but you don't have to continue like that. You can have a good finish. And I want to say this morning, God wants to support us, and that's blessed my heart. King Asa was foolish, the Bible says. He didn't rely on the Lord. He relied on his human resources. And on top of that, he wouldn't listen to the prophet. Oh, may the Lord give us grace to respond to the prophetic word. I hope you heard God's voice this morning. And then you'll say, "Lord, is there any idol in my heart? Is there anything, Lord, that you can't support me? Is there anything, Lord, that makes you sad? I want to get rid of it so that you can always support me." And I want to say, brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to support you every day. Not just on the 1st of January when we're all excited about the new year. And when we come to November, you know, I often hear people say this testimony. "The Lord is faithful, I am unfaithful. I've been unfaithful." I was telling in another church some time ago, I said we should have the new covenant testimony. That He makes us faithful. That old song is gone. And He wants to support us and help us. So that every day that the Lord can support us. Shall we close our eyes and respond to God's word this morning? Lord, we want to praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you for your heart, Lord. That your eyes are moving to and fro through the earth to strongly support those whose hearts are completely yours. And we pray this morning, you will give us a heart, Lord, that's completely yours. Dear Lord, we pray that you will help us to respond this morning and not go back the same way we came. Give us a heart of repentance, Lord. Yes, Lord, show us anything that makes you sad. And help us to get rid of it, Lord, that you can always support us. Thank you for the word of encouragement, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you're a God of encouragement. Thank you for the prophetic words. We hear, help us to be obedient to them, Lord. We praise you and worship you, Lord. We give you glory and honor, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you will help us to complete the race. You will preserve us to the end. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.